We've been looking at Genesis 1 for the last couple weeks, in which we have been focused primarily upon the why of creation. I thought it would do us well to consider the ramifications, the consequences of what we believe about Genesis chapter 1. Now, for those of you who have an aversion to polysyllabic words, let me try and demonstrate for you the definitions of ramifications and consequences. Consequences are the results. Ramifications are the results according to the decision that you've made. For instance, if you have three apples and you add to that two apples, then your consequences are that you have five apples. Okay, Scott, you bruised the apple. Now, okay, if you've got two apples and you add it to three apples, who took one? I had five. Now I've only got four. But we'll talk about that later. That's in Genesis 3. Okay, now, in terms of consequences, if you were to take blue and yellow and combine them, the consequences are that you end up with green. It's a pretty well-known fact that if you combine pizza and kids, you have a party. Regardless of what one believes about the origin of the universe, those beliefs will have ramifications. It will have consequences. There will be results of your belief. Number one, creation is supernatural. Now, that should be, if there is a creation, which there is, we're here. I exist, therefore I am. To talk about God and how he created isn't something that is given in much detail at all. We simply have the record from Genesis. You know, last couple of weeks, we talked all about why God created. And if you weren't here, it's online, listen to it. The answer's in there. I'm not going to take the time today. But what we know is that how God did it is he spoke it, and it was. Everything that is in existence did not exist without God. But God spoke, and it was. This is supernatural activity. Natural being that normally happens according to the way everything works. Supernatural is it's beyond or above that. It stands beyond that. Well, so creation has to be supernatural. This is a direct act of God. Psalm 33, verses 6 and 9, put it this way. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, their starry host by the breath of his mouth. Verse 9. For he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. To believe that the origin of the universe is in the creative act of God is called creationism. There'll be a spelling test later. Within creationism, then, is someone who is taking the biblical record at its word that God, in fact, has created. Evolution, or what is sometimes referred to as scientific naturalism, is the belief that there is no God and that natural causes have brought us to the point in which we are. Creationism says that creation is a supernatural act. Evolution or scientific naturalism will say that that's not a possibility. Therefore, that can't be the way that things happened. Secondly, creation is foundational. Genesis 1:1 establishes purpose and meaning for all of creation. Without God, there's no reason that we're here. If, in fact, there is no God, then there is no purpose, there is no meaning to existence of the universe. It just happened. And so there's a real watershed difference between these two. But to believe in Genesis 1 is to establish for us that all life exists because of God's purpose and will. And that within this, then, we know that creation is going to help define God himself. Revelation 4:11 says this: "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being." According to creationism, nothing has their being without the Creator. There's only being because there's a Creator. In contrast to that, the evolutionist is saying that there is no meaning, there is no purpose. We can't necessarily explain how it all began, but we know that this is kind of where we are today. There is no purpose. But within this, we can tell that in creation, God has demonstrated himself as sovereign. He's demonstrated himself as eternal. He's before all things. He's created all things. And so this gives God his definition of who he is, that his purpose and will is the rest of this book as to why he created. We've already covered that. But within it, in creation, we also see that God has defined man. If you would, turn over to Psalm 100. As we see the purpose of man: "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." Man is to be thankful because God has created us. In creation, man is unique. Man is the pinnacle of creation. And man is called upon to be thankful for God creating the universe for our benefit. So we can see the creation defines man. In contrast to creation, man has no purpose, and there is absolutely no separation between the value of man and any other form of life. Take creation out of the mix, and you've got all sorts of weird ideas. Now, within this, then, there is a thing going on here that you've got the creationists that believe in creationism on the one side, and you've got your naturalists that believe in evolution on the other. There have been those that, you know, we would have to assume, with well-intended purposes, have tried to put those two together. And that is not what we would call scientific creationism. Just a little aside here. Scientific creationism is the belief that God created the universe and established basic laws and truths that he operates by with creation. And it now runs according to all of those principles and laws, with God overseeing it all, and if God needs to break in, just like he did in creation, he'll do it in a supernatural way. And you're going, well, that sounds an awful lot like biblical creationism and the scientific creationism. Well, scientific creationism is an awful lot like biblical creationism. It's just trying to make the case for Genesis 1 without using Genesis 1. So that then it is perfectly legal to take it into the classroom, in which creationism would be the explanation for the origin of the universe. So that merger of trying to put those two sides together is not what is called scientific creationism. That's just a type of biblical creationism that's trying to make it legal to teach. But this merger goes by several different names. One is theistic evolution, theos being the word for God. Or another way of putting it is progressive creation. And this is coming from, I have to assume, well-intended religious leaders that have tried to put together the truth of Genesis 1 with the supposed statements of evolution and come up with this metamorphosis in the middle, in which God is in charge of life, but he used natural process to make it happen. And that all sounds good. God gets the credit, and we're all okay with anything any scientific naturalist is going to say. So that God used evolution over the process of billions of years to bring us to the point where we are now. And their idea is such that it's like, okay, we haven't destroyed God and we haven't destroyed Jesus and we haven't embarrassed ourselves intellectually in front of the science community. Ramification. First and foremost, if God, being God, has the power to create in an instant, then why would it be, understanding his purpose for creation, which we've already talked about for 2 weeks, could have done it in an instant, took 6 days instead. Why would a God that could use supernatural power to do it in an instant, why would he use natural processes that take billions of years and don't answer way too many awkward questions? Ramification, consequence of theistic evolution. If God is not powerful enough to create the world according to Genesis chapter 1, how in the world, with any sort of certainty whatsoever, are you going to believe that God has got the power to raise Jesus from the dead?
Yes.
Where in the world are we going to be able to grab a hold of this thing in which it's like, okay, ramification. If God is true, and he's always true, why would he give us Genesis chapter 1 in which we're suddenly looking at this going, well, it really isn't like this at all. It's really what the scientists say, that we are looking at this billions of years in which God has given us what would otherwise seem to be a deceptive record of how the universe came to be. Does this not raise an irreconcilable problem of how do we dilute, discount God, his word, his power, and still call on the name of God and Jesus? That is not anything like the God and Jesus it talks about in this book. So what that God and that Jesus can do, I don't know. I don't think they do either. God has the power to do, to speak, and it is so. If that is not true, then there's just too many places in this book you'd better get out your Sharpie and start crossing them out. And we looked at several of those already here this morning. Then how in the world do we reconcile your word is true? And God, you are always true and faithful. It's an irreconcilable difference. The ramifications, the consequences of setting aside, of discounting, of discrediting Genesis chapter 1 cannot be done without the expense of discounting, discrediting God, his word, and his power. Number three, creation is essential for authority. Okay, if God is the creator, if he existed before all existed, and it came into being by the speaking of the word, then he's an authority to be reckoned with. And thereby his word, as it is delivered and kept for thousands of years, is reliable and assumed true. Which it had been for thousands of years until people started wanting to come up with ideas of authority without God. You see, with both the creationist, those believing in creationism, and the evolutionist, those who believe in the natural flow of things, are looking at the observations of science exactly the same. We're looking at what is currently observable to us. There's no dispute on those observations. The problem isn't the observing what's going on in the natural world. The problem is with the presuppositions. Now, there's another one of those really gigantic words. Okay, a presupposition is that which is you're assuming to be true before you begin. Okay, that's what a presupposition is. It's the given in an algebra equation. Okay, so within this then, what is the huge difference between the presupposition of the creationist versus the evolutionist? For the creationist, the starting point is God. For the evolutionist, the starting point is not God. For the creationist, nothing existed before God spoke it into being. God spoke it into being, and now it is. And it's full of purpose and will because that's the way God designed it. And he's sovereign, and he's eternal, and he's powerful. He is the authority to reckon with. The evolutionist is saying, well, I guess the universe had to always be here. It's eternal. And with it being eternal, then it all came to be because of this brilliant professor called chaos. And things just happened with no meaning, with no purpose, with no order. And so authority, regardless of where one wants to land, Genesis 1 is a real watershed. What we choose to believe about Genesis 1 is going to be very important on how we view everything else, because the difference is not in the observations. The difference is in the presupposition. Therefore, back to the theistic evolutionist, the progressive creationist. If God is the authority, then we need to interpret the evolutionist ideas based upon Genesis 1, not interpreting Genesis 1 according to their statements. They have not proven, they have not demonstrated they're the authority. Just because they perceive there isn't a God, just because they discount him, doesn't make it so. Anybody ever have an elected official that you didn't vote for and you wish weren't there? You might have even have voted not for them. Guess what? He or she's still in office because you don't have that authority. Somebody can take pot shots all day long at God. Doesn't change God. He still is who he's always been. And his truth goes on. So as we're looking at this, you know, certainly wanting to wrap this up. To accept belief in Genesis 1 as God's truth for us, then certainly we are going to be in a situation that God is a supernatural God. And the creation is foundational to everything else that comes behind it. It all fits the plan. It all fits the purpose. It's full of miracles. Of God breaking in and doing something beyond the ordinary to make it happen. To not believe in Genesis 1 sets aside the possibility of miracles chaos, is incapable. It has no morality. It has no soul. It offers no spiritual help. There is not the possibility that this would somehow work out well. Man's uniqueness. And he created in the image of God. Naturalists are absolutely correct in their belief. They're consistent. They're consistent in their belief that it is every bit as important to fight for the spotted owl or the striped cockroach as it is for human life. For there is no difference. Therefore, as we come, that we just want to wrap this up quickly. Three things in terms of ramifications from Genesis 1. To believe in Genesis 1 is to have confidence in God, in His Word, and in His power. The opposite is equally as true. To not believe in Genesis 1 is to create a lack of confidence in God, in His Word, and in His power. Number two, recognize God's continual authority over our lives. We should be willing to live with a real sense of priority, of always keeping God first. Why? Because though He made creation all about us, the only responsible thing we can do in response is to make our lives all about Him. Number three, God has created us for a relationship with Him. This is purpose. This is meaning. This is joy forevermore. We should enjoy the relationship He's provided for us. We should thrive in His continual presence He's promised to be with us. And we should grow as we experience His power. Not wanting anybody to feel bad about themselves. But let me throw it at you this way. You know, we used to take the Iowa Test of Basic Schools. I think they call it something different now. Iowa Test of Basic Skills. And within that, you know, you would come out with your scores at the end. And at the end of it, you would get your grade equivalent score that your score would attach to it. And let's just say for reading. Can you imagine how you would feel as a student? You start fourth grade, and you're right at the fourth grade reading level. And you go through your fourth grade year, and you come to the end of your fourth grade year, and your Iowa Test of Basic Skills come back, and your classmates are saying, oh, I'm a 6.2 grade equivalent. I'm a 5.9 grade equivalent. What are you? 4.0. Didn't progress. Didn't grow. Is this a failure of the educational system? Is it a failure of the student? What's going on that there was no progress? Yes, we are in a relationship with Him, but it is not to be a static one. We are supposed to be growing. We're supposed to be excited about this. We're supposed to be thriving in this relationship. What is the proof? We're growing. We're growing. What is your spiritual great equivalent? Don't beat yourself up for not being where you should be. Draw strength from the Lord. Go to school today and start raising that spiritual great equivalent. Okay, so then, you know, are you prepared to embrace the ramification, the consequences, the results of believing in Genesis 1? If you have previously been not a creationist, and you don't necessarily like the ramifications, the consequences, the results of that belief, you have a chance to make a different choice. Perhaps you're ready to choose faith. Lord, what an amazing chapter in the Bible. Fraught full of so many things. May we not get caught up in really long-sounding words, but may we simply learn to trust in a God who has all power, who called the universe into being by the power of his word. May our lives reflect the appropriate ramifications, consequences, results to that belief. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Would you please stand? I'd like us to take my 30, 40 seconds to contemplate where we are with the ramifications, the consequences, the results of our belief about creation. If anyone has any spiritual business that they need to do with God, do it now. If you need some help, just wave at me. I'll come find you. Let us reflect. Lord, you know our hearts. Help us live out the faith we say we have. You know the needs in this room. May we, with soft hearts and hands, address those to honor you in thanksgiving to all that you have given us. Lord, if there is anyone here today that does not know you, may your Holy Spirit convict them of their need to settle that today before they go. Thank you that we could be together. Dismiss us with your grace and power to live out. In Jesus' name, amen.